Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang podcast, episode 368. I am Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Phil Wilson.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You were out hugging.
You have jet lag, Phil?
A little bit of jet lag, yes, but you know.
What, from 2 hours out hugging trees in Portland?
How do you know I was hugging trees?
Because that's just, I know you.
That's true. It's true. Yeah, it was, I had a great time. Took the family out to see the brother in Lincoln City, Oregon, and spent some time in lovely Portland. So, yeah, great time.
Great.
And excellent. You guys?
Just we here working, staying hot.
To Oregon, yeah.
Yeah. I really can't tell you how sad I am that I missed the 100-degree temperatures.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's leap into some top Minnesota tech stories. There's a few things going on, right? So Silicon North Stars growing their third year. They're incubating companies. And not sure who posted this one, but is that you, Tim?
It was.
So tell us about this one.
Well, that's a little story that talks at the beginning about Silicon North Stars. That's the program that sends the 8th and 9th graders out to Silicon Valley to visit tech companies. And then it talks about a medical device, kind of company at the bottom of it that has incubated in St. Paul. Called Insurtech, Isurtech. I've never heard of these guys, but they're a smaller biometric company that makes coatings for medical devices. So,
yeah.
Huh. Cool.
Well, yeah. It's nice to see that this thing is going because, you know, when it was announced, it looked really, really interesting. And I just thought, well, it'll be most interesting if they just keep going and keep driving the program forward. And it looks like they are. So, that's great.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then Julio, I was thinking
he was busy this last week.
He was. I was thinking that we should start a Pokemon Go podcast. I mean, it's just so hot. No. I would hate that.
We would actually have to play it a lot. I don't know if we necessarily are going to do that.
Yeah.
So it's got a very long piece on Pokemon Go here. Is it true that the businesses like this this hardware store, they don't pay money to have the characters appear there? They just sort of randomly appear wherever they're going to appear?
I believe so, yes. But there is a way to drop something there. I'm not really sure. You see, this is where I'm not...
Because we're not playing it.
Because we're not players. Yeah.
Not playing it enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, there is no charge. So,
well, and so Greg Swan is mentioned in the article about how, you know, he's the VP of social engagement at Space 150, and he has been dropping lures.
We love the Greg.
The Greg.
Right.
He's been dropping lures at his Minneapolis offices with good results. He said, we've averaged people walking by to play every 2 minutes. Well, so here's the thing. If I had an Ace hardware store franchise, for example, would I really want 60 people walking in there to play Pokemon Go? I mean, how much shrinkage would you have?
I don't know. Yeah,
you know, how many things would be slipped into pockets as people were walking around, you know, because you can't watch 60 people. So there could be some downsides to,
Suppose there always could be some downsides, but I think that is, you know, anytime you can get foot traffic, that's always a good thing.
So depending
on the crowd you're looking for, I mean, it may not necessarily fit the business. I don't know if you were a financial advisor, if you'd be dropping lures at your business
for right.
folks, but yeah.
But you know, like they talk about Poke Go MOA, you know, at the Mall of America, and how they are offering phone charging and other amenities at a themed lounge in the main rotunda. I mean, you know, I think that's a perfect application.
Right, exactly.
For Pokemon Go. I mean, because you attract people there, and hey, as long as they're there, let's go to some stores.
Yeah,
I
think it's a great opportunity. I really do. How long it will last, that's the question. I think I think Greg was quoted as saying somewhere in the neighborhood of eight weeks of you know, it being very hot. Yeah. That probably sounds about right. So it'll be interesting to see. That's my curiosity. How long will this craze last?
And right.
What's its next application?
Probably as long as Farmville did.
Oh no, yeah. It'll be longer than that. I mean, I'll tell you what, so? I keep driving by Purgatory Park, which is right on the corner of Technology Drive and Prairie Center Drive here in Eden Prairie. And every single evening, there's probably 50 people.
Yeah.
Out there walking around playing Pokemon Go. I mean, it's just incredible. But Julio also did this article on how Children's Hospital is partnering with this Stillwater Diabetes Care tech startup, and they've got a device that plugs into the iPhone, and is it Android as well? But you know, I've been waiting for more of these connected devices for health to come out, especially with the Apple Watch. But it seems like. And maybe it's the FDA process. I don't know.
I think it is. We talked about this company back a couple of years ago, or at least a year ago, because they were one of the Minnesota Cup finalists in 2015, I should say. So,
yes.
So about a year ago. And it's hard to see how, you know, they seem to be at the same place that they were a year ago. they don't have this set for mass manufacturing yet. And I guess FDA is one of the issues, but maybe funding is another one. Who knows?
My guess is funding is always an issue, especially.
But hopefully this
process that is the FDA approval piece. I mean, that's got to be tough for med tech startups.
Well, maybe this partnership with children's hospitals will accelerate it a little bit, as it says in the beginning. But yeah, it's good to see these kinds of things happening. I'd like to see a little more progress, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, and it's first of all, it's nice to see a Minnesota company, but I think I mentioned this before, but I was in the Walgreens near where we live that we frequent. And my neighbor that lives behind us is the general manager there and one of the lead pharmacist as well. And they have a whole display of connected devices for both iOS and Android. And, you know, I asked him, I said, Mike, how many of these do you sell? And he goes, well, he said, we dust them off a lot. And so, you know, in other words, they're not really selling that well. And I think it has to do more with the fact that, you know, people just aren't aware. You know, I mean, it's unless you're specifically looking for a device or your doctor says, hey, here's this diabetes testing device and you really should do that. People just, they just don't do it on their own. Most people mm-hmm. don't. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Microsoft just rubbed Google's nose in a big cloud computing customer win, Land O'Lakes.
Yeah, this is one that Graham threw into the Flipboard, so Land O'Lakes, who was a big Google Cloud user, still will be, but as the article points out, but Microsoft seems to have gotten a good foothold for. It looks like productivity, so it's 365, and there are a bunch of Surface tablets that are going out to Land O'Lakes people. So it looks like they got the productivity cloud business, while Google still gets the maps and some of the other, you know, weather data and stuff like that.
So. I got $10 as they realize a mistake was made a while from.
Well, and I was going to talk about this in other tech stories, but The Guardian in the UK just wrote about how Microsoft handed the NSA access to encrypted messages, and they're essentially offering pre-encrypted access to emails in Outlook.com, and they've done that for Hotmail for a long time. Pre-encryption stage access. To the NSA, and they're working with the FBI and the NSA to allow easier access to SkyDrive. And of course, we've known for several years, actually, and I suspected even before that, that that Skype was completely compromised. Well, now it's confirmed that the NSA has a new capability that's tripled the amount of Skype video calls being collected through Prism, this Prism program that they're running. And I just think, you know, I mean, it's like literally nothing is safe.
Right.
It's if you don't pre-encrypt before this stuff is used, then all bets are off, right? Anyway.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if Google is also so compromised. Apple seems to be the only one that really has some sort of corporate stand against this kind of thing, but you never know what back doors there might be inside of iOS or macOS.
Right. So, who knows? And that's why increasingly I'm using Signal with its end-to-end encryption, but I just think, okay, so if you're the NSA, aren't you going to go after Open Whisper Systems? Because now the Signal protocol is being used in WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. And so you would think that they'd start to try to compromise Signal.
Yep.
And
you've got to look for the next best thing now.
Yeah. You know, I'm not
technical. You'll be passing notes. You'll be passing handwritten notes around.
Right. Well, I was thinking about buying a typewriter. So, anyway.
But do you have your drone license? That's the question.
Well, I went out flying drones with my friend Eric. He's got drone, singular. He's got a drone. And, you know, he kept saying to me, don't fly it over the freeway. It's too far away. You know, he's getting all freaked out. I'm flying it all over the place. But we had to drive from here, because we're too close to Flying Cloud Airport. We had to drive and go, but he's signed up. He's got his, he doesn't have a license, but he has his, registration, I think
unless you're going to make money with it, you don't have to take the course. So you only have to register the drone.
Oh, I see.
If it's a business, then you have to take the course.
Okay.
It depends on how large your drone is too. Acquaintance of mine is a photographer.
Hey, really? Size, really? We got to bring size into this. Is that what? It's always about size.
Yeah. So this acquaintance who's a photographer, he has a rather large drone, and he basically learned how to fly. So he has his pilot's license, which apparently in the larger ones that you need to go for that.
Right. Interesting.
So yeah.
Yeah, so you can take this course, which is what, 70 bucks?
$400.
Or you could click on the link that we'll put in the show notes that takes you to the FAA training course. It'll take you about 2 hours and then you can take the test. So,
well, what I've been amazed by is I've been watching some drone stuff on Vimeo. If you just go to vimeo.com and search drone, you know, you'll be able to pull up some of them. But I had a link to one. And this drone, it's about $5,000, and it's so expensive because it's bigger and the blades are bigger, and the camera that is hung underneath it is, you know, some big deal, 4K HD camera.
It's got a gun turret.
It's no lasers. I'm waiting for the one with lasers. the video footage from it. And its maneuverability was so unbelievable that I looked at that and went, man, oh man, I'd love to own one. Then I thought, yeah, but what am I going to do with it? You know, after I fly it around 10 times, it'd be like, okay, now what?
Right.
But the quality of the video was just, it was incredible. It should be for $5,000, but.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I've thought many times about, geez, it'd be kind of fun to have a drone. You know, I think I have two of those really small ones, you know, that are impossible to fly, but yeah. It's like I think it would be great to have for like a week, and then what would I use it for? Because I don't do necessarily professional videos and take aerial photos and things like that.
So. Well, a client and a friend of mine, Greg Osterdijk, who was the mayor of Carver, you know, he's very deeply involved in Carver, city of Carver, and the community around it, and so on. And so he's in the Chamber of Commerce, and he's in the Lions Club, and he does websites for these different groups and stuff. And he routinely goes out at events, city events, and he flies his drone. So you've got these aerial shots of, of community events. And so, you know, if you were interested in doing that, then I could see buying one, because the, you know, you'd actually be producing things that people would want to watch. And rather than, hey, this is cool, I'm flying over my house. Okay, well, after I saw your house 12 times, I thought you ought to get a life, pal. Anyway,
well, you know, you could get into drone racing too, Steve. So that, I could see you.
Wait. There's drone racing?
Sure, there's drone racing.
Oh, that could be cool.
That might be fun.
That could be very fun. Anyway,
you could be a drone racing star.
Yeah,
chicks would be all over you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing hotter than a guy like me and flying a drone. You know, the women are just, I used to say that to my wife. I'd say, you know, honey, because she'd give me crap about having, because I bought a minivan when the kids were little.
Sure.
And although it was the limousine of minivans, the Chrysler Town and Country. Anyway, and she'd say, look, I'm just going to tell you, if you buy that thing, I'm never driving it. I'm not going to be seen in the minivan. Well, I loved having the thing for about a year. And then stuff started to fall off of it because it was so crappily made.
Because it's a Chrysler, yeah.
It's a Chrysler. But she said, well, seriously, why did you want that? This is after I got it. I go, well, you know, because of getting the kids and blah, blah, blah. I said, plus, at that point, I was 40. I said, there's nothing hotter than a 40-year-old white guy driving a minivan.
It's true.
The women are just, they'd smile at me when I would park, you know. And
keep telling yourself that, Steve.
That's right. Anyway, so Tim Elliott, you must have found this, buddy.
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Yeah. This is very interesting. This article is, it's a company called Imperson, I-M-P-E-R-S-O-N, launches its WordPress for bots.
No, you skipped over the team.
He skipped over my sports engine piece, geez.
That's right. Because he was down in Bend, Oregon, and he saw this
team. Oh, all right. I apologize profusely. Everyone, you'll be very excited to know about WordPress for bots, but we'll wait on that.
That's right.
While we speak about sports engine.
I just wanted to just highlight, you know, we talked about Sport Engine being acquired by NBC. What is it? Sports Group.
Yeah, NBC Sports Group. Yeah.
They changed the name too.
And they changed from Sport Engine to Sports Engine.
Yeah.
And the spelling, because it was N-G-I-N. Yeah.
So and they got a nifty little logo. And obviously with that infusion of cash, they said, let's go buy some shit. So they've acquired Track Wrestling, and which is seems sort of a team management thing for track, and then for wrestling. And then Team Unify, which is a swim team app. So they're kind of on a little spree.
Well, they're going to really be positioned as, you know, they're probably A, acquiring the technology and the engineering, but also B, the customers.
I really hope this leads to a little bit of improved tech on the Sport Engine stuff on what they've
got. I'm sure it will. You know,
that tech really hasn't budged for quite some time. So yeah. I'm anxious to see that maybe they'll kick it up a notch. So Sports Engine and the guys over at the Highlight Building in Northeast are busy.
Yep.
So, yep. Okay, Steve, now you can talk about the bots.
Well, it's actually Tim put the article in, but
you're the most excited.
Well, clearly. when I saw the headline, I kind of went, yeah, whatever. And then I started reading the article and was like, this is awesome. So I'm sure everyone's heard that's listening. I'm sure you've heard about bots.
Chatbots.
And it's they're chatbots. And you know, Google and Microsoft and everybody, they're all excited about chatbots. And I thought, you know, I don't have a good experience when there's a human on the other end when I'm chatting, let alone now that somebody that some business analyst that thinks that they're going to be able to put together the process and make it a good experience, right? Because it's always boilerplate stuff that they spit back at you. And that's why I want to actually connect with a human. But when I started to go through this and really read the article, I thought this Imperson has really set this up in a very, very interesting way. And they, of course, encourage not engineers to create the process flow and the response to questions and all of that, but rather writers and people that know how to properly explain something in a sentence or two. And that this company's got this conversational user interface. And they're saying that chatbots require planning, tone of voice development, and writers capable of delivering a great experience. And I thought, you know, maybe these guys really are onto something. Do you see this being a big deal for pre-sales, Tim, or marketing or customer service or all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above. And what's interesting about this in person is that they've made it into a very easy way for companies to deploy it. You know, it's a cloud-based kind of a deal, and it's you don't have to do a lot of development on your end to actually deploy one of these bots.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, it's a dashboard kind of a thing, similar to WordPress, where, you know, it's easy to install. You can obviously do a lot of customization to it, but mm-hmm. It's a full end-to-end solution for chatbots. So I had not seen anything like this before. So that
I haven't either.
I was excited to see it.
Well, I think it's really interesting. And on their homepage, on InPerson's homepage, it says the average conversation length is 9 minutes. The turns per conversation are 13. I'm not exactly sure what those are. Does that mean the back and forths?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what. And then it says 20% re-engagement. So I'm not exactly sure what that means either. But that conversation length, I thought, was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, people really do engage. And so, anyway.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I wanted to put this in here for those of you who have iOS devices or Mac OS devices, that Apple has done an update for Mac OS and for iOS that you absolutely, positively must run now. You must update now, because a year ago there was this Android-based vulnerability called Stage Fright. So somebody could just send you a message with a photo in it, and when you clicked on it, they took over your phone. Boom, done. And that exact flaw is available in iPhones using iMessage, for example, or your iPad, any iOS device. But also, because the Mac OS has Messages, which is an app that, you know, is iMessage, Macs are vulnerable to it as well. And so Apple patched those. So if you just run the updates, you're good to go. So please do that. Please.
You should always run your updates anyway.
Always, of course. Yeah,
this one, I just noticed on my iPhone wasn't pushed. So, but when you do check, it will show. So.
And they're not pushing anymore.
They're not pushing anymore.
No, right. Because they closed that in the current version of iOS. Because that was the way that the FBI, right? They wanted to get into the iPhones and the pre iPhone 6 or maybe it was iOS 9.1. I can't remember exactly now. Could still push, and so they could push a compromised operating system on you.
Gotcha.
And so they've closed that hole now, and so you have to manually update. And
I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, okay. I wanted to put one more thing in here.
What?
And only because I'm kind of a space geek. So there's a really spectacular meteor shower that's going to start next week. It's called the Delta Aquarids. And we all know about the Perseid meteor shower that happens in August every year, around the 20th of August, somewhere in there. But this Delta Aquarids is happening next week, and it will go through the month of August. So even if you're out gazing at the Perseids, you'll still be able to see these. But here's the kicker. The kicker is I could not figure out where to go to get dark sky. And so I started poking around on the net, and I found that some guy had done this dark sky finder through Google Maps, and you can actually look at this visually, because I'll be in Duluth in the next week on the North Shore. And so I thought, well, I want to see where I can go and be in the dark, basically, because I want to take it, you know, get some night sky photographs and so forth. And this is really interesting. Of course, it shows all the light pollution around the metro area, but it shows where you can drive to get some dark, or if you're going to happen to be in northern Minnesota, where you could go.
Or if I was going to say just north of Grand Marais, it's plenty dark at night.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But no, but there are spots, just if I go up Highway 61 past Silver Bay, it's dark enough there. Or drive up Highway 1 toward Isabella, it's going to be perfectly dark. And so I probably will do that and then slather the bug spray on and, you know, or cover myself with nets.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I thought I'd put this in here only because I was always curious where I could go.
And well, I think it's a handy little tool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of handy little tools.
Hey.
Are there any cool things that you guys came across this week?
Well, let's start with Tim. Tim.
This one is a new product that's coming out later this fall. I think it's September is the official release, but I started to see reviews coming out this week. It's called the Elbi, and it is a hybrid electric bike. I wasn't aware that this whole e-bike thing, these electric bikes, is like a big deal.
It is a big deal now, yeah.
Yeah, it's pitched for big city commuters who are commuting in either using trains or subways or whatever now, and it's a way to extend your range for someone that you could pedal it as a bike, or you get about 90 miles per charge of range, and it's a very nice looking bike. The only downside that I see is that the pricing of these, which starts at a little under $4,000,
oh my god,
is a little on the high side. They go up to about $7,000, and for that you can get a nice moped. Actually, a lot less than that, you can get a nice
a lot less than that.
So if your primary objective is commuting, I would think a moped would probably be a better fit for you. This one, because it's a bike and it only goes 20 miles an hour, you don't need to be licensed to drive it. So you could drive it without a driver's license. But I don't see the driver's license as being a huge impediment. But it's a cool idea. And if you wanted the combination of both a vehicle that you could commute in but also on the weekends get some exercise, that one of these e-bikes is a good option for you.
Well, my daughter just bought a electric longboard.
For commuting?
Well, no, not for commuting, because at this point she's 20 miles away from Best Buy's headquarters, so that would be a little bit challenging, but just for different things that she's going to, where they're in different events and stuff. So anyway, she's a big deal longboarder. Yeah, Phil,
there's a couple of bikes. I just kind of did a quick search. There's a few electric bikes out there that are, around $1,000. That probably have less range. I'm guessing that this is probably what the LB will be, most known for is range. So it looks like that battery that the LB has, which is appears to be housed on the down tube, but also has a fairly substantial charging apparatus on that rear wheel. So that'll be interesting to see how that all works out. So for me, I just I don't know, guys, if you've used the Airbnb app lately. Used it when we were in Oregon. We spent a couple of days in Portland and used the Airbnb service, and I found the app insanely easy to use and cool. I mean, it's not new, it's been around for a long time, and if you've ever used Airbnb, you're probably familiar with it, but I felt I was very very much delighted by how easy it was to use, from everything from getting directions to chatting with the host, and it was really a well laid out app. So that kind of I felt like that was my cool thing of the week. Probably the only tech I really used. So
cool.
This last week. So check it out if you've ever used Airbnb. Do you guys use Airbnb?
Not yet, but my wife and I are talking about it because she's become a gigantic fan of Uber.
Tim, yourself?
I've used the app a couple of times. I have not found a property to stay at, though. So
okay, yeah,
but But it's been a while. I have not opened the app in quite some time because we haven't really been. We've been more into camping than going and staying at hotels. So
gotcha. There you go. Well, these are homes, but that's all right.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, great stuff. So and Steve.
Well, mine is something that I found very interesting. It's a $150 case that snaps on to the back of an iPhone. So you use, obviously, the Lightning connector, and it slides in. And so you have an extra battery. But you can also use the app to run Android. So you launch the app, and you're essentially running Android on your iPhone.
On your iPhone. Why would you want to do that?
Yeah, I was going to say, why would you want to do this?
Well, you know, I've been actually toying with the idea of buying a second phone just so I have a second phone and having it be an Android device. And I thought, hey, this could be cool.
So do that.
Yeah, but then you're carrying around two phones.
Well, how much is this thing?
$150.
$150. You could probably get a good Android phone for that. Hell,
you can.
I'll sell you my M1 if you want.
But then you got two phones. Well, anyway, so I went to the, it's called MeSuit, M-E-S-U-I-T, and I went to the website, which is in Chinese, so I used Google Translate, and I just, honest to God, I just think it's hilarious, because it says, in the About Us page, it says, play the Hippocampus, the world's leading mobile operating system. It's play Hippocampus. Hippocampus's main products are Apple's assistant. I mean, the translation is just hilariously bad.
Well, yeah, this is the opening slide. On one side, we found that the other side.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, at least you can get some sense of what it is. But there's no plans yet to sell it in the U.S. But I thought it was. I just thought it was cool. I had like five other cool things, but I just settled on this
one. There you go. That's anyway. Why not? Well, yeah. You get 5 weeks covered then at least.
Yeah.
Events coming up, guys. Anything anything shaken?
Nothing earth shattering.
Nothing new.
Did not see anything new.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
summer. You know
what? I'm sure it's summer. It is. So we'll talk about more. We'll find out what's going on next week, and we'll talk about it more on
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
See you then.
Take care.